then?
They were a relief. They were a release from the pain and the rigors that came with the Great Depression. You needed a Fred Astaire and a Ginger Rogers to go dancing across the stage to try to tell people, hey, there's still some joy, there's still some life.
The evidence can be seen at the Library of Congress till the end of July. In Washington, I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News.
You can see some at NPR.org. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
You could be the talk of the elevator with your own personal cell phone answering message from Dave Dickey.
Good agricultural day to you. This is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Leave your message after the beep for George.
You can have that or another custom message on your cell phone from Dave by calling now at 217-244-9455 with your pledge of agricultural support. We'll randomly pick up to five winners, one for each day of our spring pledge drive.
And it is Friday morning, a good Friday morning to you as we have our mid-morning commodity market report. Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter May wheat is 554 and three quarters, up 1 3/4. Make it 1 1/4. Make it 3 1/4. May wheat, the soft variety, 522, up 3 1/4. May corn, 374 and three quarters, down 3 1/4. July, 382 1/4, down 3 1/2. December, $4.50, down 3. May soybeans, 953, down 1/2. July, 957 and three quarters, down 1/2. November, 943 1/4, down 2. May soybean meal, 312, down 10 cents. May soybean oil, 3079, down 5 cents. April live cattle, 159.10, down 270. April feeders, 213.82 1/2, they're down 265, and the May is down $3. April lean hog, 62.82 1/2, up 72 1/2. And the May at 71.90 is up 140. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Let's begin on the livestock side because price action seems to suggest maybe a top's in place.
Well, you're getting an idea of the trade thinking that maybe the live cattle market and the cash cattle market is not going to play ball with these very high box beef prices. And so, yes, you're getting a pullback here. It could be a top, but you got to realize also, Dave, this trade has been really back to the old drawing board of buying cattle and selling hogs recently, and I think they're probably doing some significant spread unwinding here today at the end of the week. Now, if the hogs would turn negative, then that would illustrate maybe a little bit more likelihood that the cattle themselves are looking toppy, and it could add to the downside as we come back next week. So really, with the USDA report out of the way and USDA increasing both the 2015 beef and pork production just a smidgen versus the prior month, you're probably back to trading the spreads. But it's definitely worth watching because you are banging below that 160 level in the April fats.
Could it be that after we see the spread unwind, that lean hogs have a little bit of a setback, a pullback, if you will, and then they take off into the summer?
I think the dollar will answer that question for you, and I think this is where the dollar, to me, being up almost 3% from its low this week to where it traded on a new two-and-a-half-week high earlier in the trading session last night, you know, with that kind of a rally potential coupled with getting overbought in the short-term stochastics and coupled with some Fed commentary suggesting that we are still on track for a Federal Reserve rate increase yet in 2015, makes me think that there's a pretty good likelihood as we get into next week that maybe we found a short-term high technically and fundamentally in the dollar. And so I think that would give the hogs the ability to keep their premium fairly well intact. Now, the summer months are getting up there. I think we have to realize there is a pretty big spread between the front end and what the July and August look like, for instance. So I am eager to get some summer hogs marketed and get them hedged here as we get into the latter part of April. But I think maybe that dollar top maybe can give us a little bit more oomph.
Well, let's go ahead and then get to the grains. And let's begin with the soybean complex, particularly meal, because meal yesterday broke the prior 2015 low. And I'm wondering, is it a perhaps a harbinger, if you will, for something to the downside later?
You have to be concerned about that, because meal is your traditional leader in terms of overall trend, because it's your real demand leader. And so between the avian flu and the report reaction yesterday, you do have to be concerned about that. The USDA did pull down the bean oil ending stocks here in this country pretty substantially versus the March estimate, and so you could maybe say that it is meal oil spread unwinding, but it is certainly on my radar screen because we need the meal underneath us, especially given this high pathogenic avian influenza creating the issue of 80 to 90% death loss and mortality, whether you're culling the birds because you have to or whether they're dying naturally. It is a significant issue, and I think we're up to 7 or even 9 cases now in Minnesota, and we're in the middle of migration season. So the meal is a very big issue as we come back next week,
including a Jennie-O plant, so it hit a big one finally.
Yeah, exactly right, Dave, and I think this is where if you would see the meal not recover by the middle of next week, I do think that that 940 area, 933 area in the November contract, that March 31st acreage and grain stocks low would be a potential candidate to be taken out. And then you're talking about going back down to last fall's lows, and that would match up pretty nicely on the chart from a technical perspective. So this report yesterday, by and large, did not do any favors whatsoever to the soy complex, because not only did USDA not take their own ag attaché's estimate and lower the Brazilian bean production, this morning CONAB came out and reinforced the USDA number that came out yesterday by raising their bean production for Brazil 1 million metric tons to 94.3. So you've got both official agencies in the two major countries that the market follows saying, we've got a big Brazilian bean crop.
Let me play the devil's advocate and try a bullish argument on you and see if it sticks. And it goes something like this. Through the first half of the year, 67% of the soybean crop has been booked for export demand, 67% of export demand first 6 months. Second half of the year, traditionally, you always look at something between 23, 35, 36% of booking, and that is a typical thing. If you take even something at the low end, you can make a case that maybe 85 to 90, 91, 92% of the soybeans are going to get booked, even with a slowdown in our program to South America, and thus maybe by the time we're starting to think about the key part of the growing season for beans, we might be down at 110.
I don't have any major problems with that, because it fits really nicely with several different models that you could use, both fundamentally and technically and historically, that as you get to the mid-year time period, unless you have an expansion of the avian flu killing more demand in the meal and in the corn, or you have that existential threat with the euro actually manifesting itself and the dollar's screaming higher because the euro currency is breaking up because people are leaving the European Monetary Union. Those two things are the major players preventing us from making a middle part of the year, calendar year low like we did in 2010. And, you know, one of the major weather people out there put out an update saying this looks like a summer like 1980. Well, even 1980, we had a very similar price pattern in new crop corn and new crop beans as we did in 2010, a mid-calendar year low. And I think this goes back to the commodity investment. If we could get the currencies off our backs and we can stop pricing in a lot of bearish expectations on demand that not manifesting themselves or in reality not occurring, I think you could have a really good chance for a mid-year low at this stage of the game in 2015. And I think with the commodity investment in particular, a rising tide kind of lifts all boats. I don't think the trade would be in a spread mindset like they are. I mean, today is a perfect example. We're buying the wheat and selling the corn because the weather models are looking better, price supportive for the hard red wheat, less price supportive for the corn. If we want to get out of that trading, spread trading mindset, I think it goes back to the currencies and commodity investment as a whole, and I could see that once we get that dollar out of our way.
Thank you very much, Mike.
You bet. Good luck with the fundraising, Dave.
Appreciate that. Mike Zuzalo of Global Commodity Analytics in Atchison, Kansas. May corn, 375 down 3. December, $4.50 down 3. May beans, 952 and a quarter, down 1 and a quarter. And November, 942 and 3 quarters, down 2 and a half. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 10 o'clock Central Time. The following